Shalom and Chag Sameach, saints of God, and welcome to the Shofar Ministries program. This is Dan with my joyful wife, who has a deep dedication to God's Word, Reverend Sheila Crawford.
Thank you, my love, and happy Hanukkah to all our listeners. Honey, please ask for God's blessing.
Okay. Abba, Father, as we enjoy this season of lights, we honor and praise you as the creator of all light. Let your countenance be bright over your true church, especially your healing light upon those afflicted right now. We continue in Yeshua's name to render the enemy powerless over our lives. Most of all, we thank you by the power of your Holy Spirit for miraculously placing your son into Mary during this feast of light to be the light of the world for the salvation to all those who believe. Shine on the hearts of our lost loved ones that they will see your light clearly, and may today's teaching be like that light bulb that suddenly appears in the minds and hearts of those listening. As we always pray in Yeshua's name, amen.
Amen and Hagarim Sameach to everyone, which simply means happy holiday of lights. And if you prefer a simpler greeting, you can just say Hanukkah Sameach.
By the way, did you know that Hanukkah is actually the Hebrew word for dedication?
That's right. Mm-hmm. Specifically, the rededication of their second temple after Antiochus Epiphanes' abominations were halted, as we discussed last week, which is archived on our webpage, shofarministries.net. And since our bodies are now a temple for Jesus, it would be a good season to rededicate your flesh to a closer walk with your Savior.
Amen, and again amen to that.
Today we will continue our Feast of Lights teaching, and I must say, this season represents a very unique typology for both the Antichrist, but particularly Jesus, which most don't realize, and now we're going to expound on that, since it's a truly gold nugget, in just a few minutes.
But first, what's Israel up to?
Well, more Hezbollah tunnels are being destroyed, this time leading into Lebanon. As well, we see now why Netanyahu didn't want to be overly focused on Gaza. We talked about that last week, because he knew he had to take action up north. And he did just that while that window was still open before Russia's new defense system in Syria could be fully employed. So on November 29th, Israel attacked at least 15 Iranian sites in Syria, inflicting many casualties.
Well, no wonder Israel was conducting military drills in how to manage two wars at the same time.
Yes, military drills. And again, we see Netanyahu's decision to curb Gaza's retaliation just makes total sense.
The G20 meeting?
Oh, yes. Very important leaders met last weekend in Argentina. And although President Trump's formal meeting with Russia's Putin was canceled, they somehow conveniently were able to have a brief correspondence where Putin explained his side of the seizing of the three Ukrainian ships and a dozen sailors in that narrow Kerch Strait between Crimea and Russia last month. He said the ships did not ask permission to go through these waters, and since Russia annexed Crimea in 2014, Putin feels the strait is Russian waters.
Will Putin return the men and the ships?
I understand that it would be heard in their courts.
And a new NAFTA deal.
Yes, now called the USMCA, was agreed to with Canada and Mexico.
But Congress must first approve it.
Yes, and we're having a Democratic Congress soon in January. And they want to do this, by the way, within 6 months.
Any good news with China?
Well, most think so. President Trump and China have agreed to a 90-day economic ceasefire for serious negotiations on trade and tariffs to occur. Most know that China has been ripping us off for decades.
Yeah, you know, especially in our superior technology.
Thank God we finally have a president that is willing to take the heat and call their bluff. You know, they do very bad things to their people.
Well, it is a communist country under now a lifetime dictatorship.
Yes. And they have thousands of undercover spies right here, and they pay off many of our leaders, unfortunately.
Well, along with some of the media as well.
That is true. And what form of government comes before communism?
I think that would be socialism.
Yes. That so many of our young people think is a good thing.
Well, we can thank our secular colleges for that.
So sad. Oh, and one more serious thing. China is the main culprit in our drug problem, particularly fentanyl, and shipped to Mexican cartels and then into America across their border.
Well, you know, by the way, that killed 70,000 in 2017.
Right, that we know of. We should also all understand that China really expects to displace us. And at some point, we could get into more detail about that, but let me just add the fact that their military is growing by leaps and bounds, just in time to be that great army in Revelation 16.
Called the Kings of the East, I believe.
Yes.
Now, speaking about Mexico, how's our southern border?
Well, of course, it's still a mess, with possibly more caravans coming. However, some are going back home. Some are staying in Mexico. And only a small number were able to get across into America illegally. And some are being processed the legal way. And that is a good thing. And we really hope that the legal process maybe could be sped up for them because they choose the right way.
Okay. You can send your end time questions by email to Sheila at shofarministries.net or call the office and leave your detailed message to 440-834-9006. Also, by regular mail to Post Office Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. Your love offerings are needed and greatly appreciated, which will then add you to our mailing list for any updates and biblical teachings. You can also be a donating partner from our webpage, shofarministries.net, where you will find all the past radio and teaching newsletters, all archived for your added learning.
And by the way, our latest newsletter just went out this week. Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, last week we explained the origin of Hanukkah concerning Antiochus Epiphanes and the amazing miracle where only one day's oil actually lasted 8 days till they could specially process more olive oil as written in Exodus 27 for the menorah. Which is why they light another candle every night for 8 nights that this year began last Sunday, December 2nd, and goes till Monday evening, the 10th.
Right, but we have a few more wonderful gold nuggets for our listeners tonight.
Oh, we sure do. And one of those gold nuggets, often overlooked when one reads Revelation, but right at the beginning in chapter 1, Jesus says that we, the church, is that lighted menorah that stays lit all the time, like we do, because he lives in us.
Well, we are now his temple, 1 Corinthians 6:19.
We are, amen to that. So in Revelation 1 verse 12, John sees Jesus standing in the midst of the seven lampstands. And then in verse 20, he very specifically says that these seven lamps represent the church. Now, how often have you heard that on Sunday mornings or in Bible study?
Not much that I know of.
So, besides the cross, which Satan often defiles, the menorah is our special symbol as well, which, by the way, has never been used by the occult that we know of. So, I often wear a menorah, and when asked why I wear it, I explain fully, while also giving the gospel. Honestly, it can be quite an attention grabber. And here's something else that is also really amazing. We read that the seven lamps are in heaven before the sealed judgments are opened by Jesus. And you can read that in Revelation 4, chapter 4, verse 5.
Yes. You know, when you put a menorah and a cross together, that really gets them wondering. Yeah, but that was definitely a light bulb moment.
I know, me too. And actually, the mid and post-trib rapture people, they've never given me a good explanation for chapter 4. And going on, we have something else that's an eye-opener and fascinating.
Oh, do tell.
Well, the official state emblem on the state seal of Israel, well, it's the menorah, standing in the midst of two olive branches.
Based on the vision of Zechariah in 4, I believe.
Yes, it is. But as believers and lovers of the New Testament, we read in Romans 11 that we, the true church, has been grafted into that olive tree. So, as Israel was called to be a light to the Gentiles in the Old Testament, we now are also called to be a light to the Gentiles, but also to Israel. So to see these seven lamps as symbolized by the menorah, declared on their own state seal right in the middle of their olive branches, it's like saying we're a team. And just look at how so many Jews are accepting Jesus today as their Messiah.
Yeah, praise God for that. Well, Scripture does say that all will believe one day.
And maybe very soon. As well, this emblem is used on all their special documents and hung in all the important state institutions. Well, it just tickles my heart, and it should yours. And since most Jewish people don't read the New Testament, they don't even see that the menorah represents the church. It's one of those, I guess you could say, hidden in plain sight. Only God would do that kind of a thing. But back to Hanukkah, did Jesus honor the Feast of Dedication himself? Well, he sure did, just like in all the feasts. Remember this, there are two feasts of lights. We have the lesser or the minor feast of Hanukkah, or dedication in English, and the greater feast, which is Tabernacles, when Solomon's temple was dedicated, 2 Kings chapter 8. So yes, Jesus went to the temple purposely at the end of Hanukkah, at the end of Hanukkah, for a specific reason. And I'm going to explain that to you. We're going to start reading in John 10, verse 22. Now it was the Feast of Dedication. Let me stop right there and just say that the word for was is genomai, number 1076, and in the lexicon, it says that means it's at the end or at the finish. In other words, it's on the last or the eighth day of the feast. And we'll see why that's important to know in just a second. So now it was the Feast of Dedication in Jerusalem, and it was winter. So why did John be sure to tell the reader it was in the winter? So for those who study their Hebraic roots would know it was Hanukkah and not just assume it was the other greater feast of dedication called Tabernacles, which is in the fall. Okay, verse 23 says, and Jesus walked in the temple in Solomon's porch. Now, that's where the Gentiles could be. So it's called the colonnade on the eastern side of the outer court. In other words, the Gentiles could be there to hear it as well, what Jesus was about to declare. And it's a doozy. Verse 24. Then the Jews surrounded him and said to him, how long do you keep us in doubt? If you are the Christ, tell us plainly. Jesus answered them, I told you, and you do not believe. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me. But you do not believe, because you are not of my sheep. As I said to you, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. Verse 28. And I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand. My Father, who has given them to me, is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of my Father's hand. And then verse 30 says it all. I and my Father are one, Jesus declares. And there it is. He just claimed his deity, and on the eighth day of Hanukkah, which I'll tell you why that's important. But let's finish with verse 31. Then the Jews took up stones again to stone him. Jesus answered them, Many good works I have shown you from my Father. For which of those works do you stone me? The Jews answered him, saying, For a good work we do not stone you, but for blasphemy. And because you, being a man, make yourself God. All right. So obviously, the Jews knew exactly what he was claiming, his deity, one with the Father, thereby saying he was God. Even though unbelievers today will say, oh, Jesus never said he was God. Well, obviously, they haven't read the Gospel of John. Keep that in your mind the next time you hear that, John 10:30. So, why did Jesus wait to speak of his deity on the eighth day of Hanukkah? Well, there's a huge reason. First of all, we know that Jesus is the light of the world, as we too should be a light in the dark world. But many who study the roots of Judeo-Christianity know he was born in the fall on the first day of the Feast of Tabernacles. And John 1:1 says he came to tabernacle amongst us, which of course gives us an added real clue. But counting back 280 days from his birth, which is the full term for normal pregnancy, brings us to exactly the eighth day of Hanukkah, or the Lesser Feast of Lights. So, the day that Mary would have been incarnated by the Holy Spirit when Jesus took up residence in her womb, probably at sundown, on the Hebrew calendar of Tevet 1, the eighth day of Hanukkah, on a new moon, portraying a new life from heaven. And then, 280 days later, he was born in the fullness of time on a full moon. Galatians 4:4. Which, the first day of tabernacles, is later in Tishrei. Okay, so knowing this, since it is always near the traditional Christmas season, Hanukkah is, you have another important reason to celebrate, for his incarnation is the greater miracle. Really? But regardless of your eschatological stance, the most important reason to celebrate his feast is because you have Jesus birthed in your own heart and have a personal relationship with him, being willing, as the Maccabees, to take a stand for the freedom of your faith. Then actually, every day is Christmas to you. So, share this light bulb knowledge with someone else. Don't just hide it under a bushel. Ask yourself this. Is your light shining? Is it even showing? Does your light brighten up a room when you enter? We know the world is getting darker. I pray it's not because the Christians' lights are getting dimmer. Is there a correlation, perhaps? Well, every moment of every hour, the kingdom of God is inside you, so therefore your light should always be visibly shining. Remember the virtuous woman of Proverbs 31, whose light does not go out by night? That's really talking about her righteousness through God, which never goes to sleep. Jesus said in Revelation 2:5 to the first church at Ephesus who had lost their first love, we talked about that a few weeks ago, told them to repent or he would remove their lampstand out of its place. Your lamp goes dim when, as Luke 21 states, the cares of this life overshadow it by stealing your time away from his word and consuming a person to the point that his or her light is eclipsed. Jesus is the Word, and the only way your light stays bright is through him. It's the battery that recharges you. I really mean that. Okay, well, remember Psalm 119:105, where it says, Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path? There's confirmation. Let me say it again. Your light is meant to be seen, not hidden under a bushel or under a bed. Mark 4:21. So in a quick summary, the bottom line here is Hanukkah was not just the Maccabee army defeating Antiochus Epiphanes. The stronger miracle was God keeping the oil enough only for one day, actually lit for 8 days, till they could replenish it with special cold-pressed oil that takes a week to process. But later, on an even greater miracle, was Jesus' incarnation into Mary on the 8th day of Hanukkah, also called the Feast of Dedication, in the winter. As stated in John 10, when Jesus, now in his 30s, went to the temple on the last or 8th day. So, the reason he declared his deity to the Jews on that day is because, unbeknown to them, was his anniversary of his incarnation. So, incarnated on the new moon of the 8th day of the Lesser Feast of Lights and born on the Greater Feast of Lights 280 days later in the fullness of time, which actually was on a full moon. After all, he is the light of the world. Can't say that enough. Now, if you were God, wouldn't you as well set it all up just like that, showing his amazing detail, confirming once again that he is our only supreme God, God above all gods, little g, of course. Yes, traditionally we celebrate Christmas on December 25th, which of course wouldn't be my choice, but it's not the date of his birth that's the most important. It's the fact that indeed he was born at all. So, let's remember that point and for heaven's sake, stifle the Santa thing. He's just a distraction from the enemy and to placate secular society. So, give out the true gospel and take advantage of this very lighted season. And there's a lot of lights out there. I love just driving through and seeing the night and speaking to Jesus. It's a great time. And, you know, hearts are ready to hear the gospel. So do it. Don't keep it under a bushel. Take advantage of the season. Not too many would tell you not to tell them anything during this time. I never had that happen. So go for it, church. Now, if Jesus isn't supreme Lord over your life yet, if you're listening and he's not, repent of your sins and invite him into your heart. Open that door because he's knocking right now. Your time really is running out. Also be sure your relationship with Jesus then is intimate and not just some head knowledge because you think it's the right thing to do. And people say to me, well, how can I be sure I have an intimate relationship? The simple word is passion. If Jesus is truly your betrothed one, you will have a desire to know him more with a passion that will draw you into his word just to be saturated in his presence. More word, more Jesus. It's just that simple. So what do you have to do? Well, you got to crucify that lazy flesh and just do it. Pick up the book. Put him as an appointment in your daily planner. That's all you have to do. Make it a point. Again, just do it. I'm going to leave you today with the blessing of Hanukkah, since we're in Hanukkah. All right. Blessed are you, O Lord, King of the universe, who has sanctified us through his commandments and commanded us to kindle the Hanukkah lights. And we have time, so let me also give the regular blessing. The Lord will bless you and keep you. The Lord will make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord will lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Till next time, Sha'alu Shalom, Yerushalayim. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem, because those who love her, well, you're going to prosper in all ways. Psalm 122:6. Shalom. Have a great week. Talk to you next time.
Thanks for listening to this week's broadcast from Shofar Ministries, hosted by Sheila Crawford on AM 1220, The Word. If you would like to help keep this show on the air, please visit the Shofar Ministries website, shofarministries.net. That's all one word, shofarministries.net. Once you're there, click the donate button on the left side of the page, and it will take you to the PayPal secure payment site. If you don't use the internet, you can send your check or money order donation to the following address, Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. That's Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. For any questions or comments about this program, please send an email to Sheila at the following address, Sheila@ShofarMinistries.net. That's Sheila@ShofarMinistries.net. Please join us next Tuesday night at 8 for Shofar Ministries, right here on AM 1220, The Word. The preceding program was brought to you by Shofar Ministries.